This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. This is your host, Jason Staples. And today we're going to be talking all rivalry week, looking at the Florida-Florida State game and exactly what to expect in that game. We'll talk matchups on each side of the football, how Florida State's offense will match up against Florida's defense, how Florida's offense will match up against Florida State's defense, and then summarize what to expect in this game. So when Florida State's on offense, first things first, Florida State is a different kind of offense than any of the offenses that Florida has really shut down. I mean, you think about Florida's defense. Florida's defense is one of the best defenses in the country, but it's most assuredly one of the best secondaries in the country. And first of all, with their three corners, between Hargraves, Poole in the slot, and then Tabor on the outside, that set of corners is as good, 1-3, as anybody in the country, probably the best set in the country. And that allows them to do a lot of things in terms of find creative pressures and things like that. Jeff Collins is good at finding creative ways to pressure the passer and all that. And they can generally commit a little bit more to the running game because of the way that they can single cover teams' receivers. And to be totally honest, you know, that set of corners, Poole and Hargraves in particular, have been able to win their matchups for the most part against Florida State the last 2 years. The one exception being Kelvin Benjamin back in 2013, who destroyed that Florida secondary. He was just too big and physical, and when they got up and tried to manhandle him like they do everybody else, he just tossed him aside and went wild for three touchdown catches that game, and that made the difference in that game offensively for Florida State. But last year, Florida State's wide receivers, without a Kelvin Benjamin on the roster, really didn't have a great day. They struggled a little bit, quite a bit against that Florida secondary, struggled to get off of those corners. And, I mean, again, Florida State's wide receivers are used to playing against corners of that caliber with Jalen Ramsey and Marquez White and the rest in practice. But the truth of the matter is those corners, the Florida State corners, tend to get the better of Florida State's receivers in practice as well. So I don't think we can really expect a whole lot from the passing game from Florida State, just like against Clemson. I mean, I think Clemson, again, is a comparable secondary in that regard with Tankersley, and especially with Mackenzie Alexander. Clemson was able to more or less put the clamps on Florida State's wide receivers, and they don't have a receiver like a Kelvin Benjamin on this roster right now, or at least somebody who's ready. I mean, Auden Tate has a chance of becoming that kind of guy down the line, and George Campbell has a chance of becoming a real weapon down the line, and you could say the same thing about Javon Harrison. I mean, they've got guys who have the potential to become that down the line, but they don't have one of those guys on the roster at this point. And, you know, they struggled against Clemson, against that press coverage that Clemson put on them, where, you know, Kermit Whitfield was not getting off of coverage the way that he normally does. I mean, he got free a little bit, but he was not able to get free like he normally does. You know, same thing with Bobo Wilson. Bobo Wilson was not able to create separation down the field. Now, I will say that actually I've got to give credit where credit is due, that Rudolph actually did create some separation, particularly on some vertical stuff in that game. Florida State just wasn't able to hit him, in part because of the pressure that Clemson was able to produce up front on Sean McGuire. And McGuire didn't hit him when he had some opportunities, with the exception of a good back shoulder fade where Rudolph was able to win that matchup, and McGuire just basically put the ball up in his zip code. But basically, Florida State's wide receivers, I would expect a similar outing to what we saw at Clemson from that group. But at the same point, Clemson has been better stopping the run than what Florida has been against quality rushing offenses so far this year. And actually, if we look at that Florida defense and how they've had success all year, we've seen that they've had success against teams that can't run the football. Teams that need to throw the football in order to succeed are the teams that Florida has really shut down. By contrast, the teams that did have some success against the Florida defense are Tennessee and LSU. The two teams on the Florida schedule who've been able to have success against Florida are the teams that were able to run the football, bottom line. And it's the two teams that coming in, you would have said, should be able to run the football. And Tennessee ran it 51 times for 254 yards. That's 4.98 yards per carry. LSU ran it 41 times for 221 yards. Leonard Fournette with most of that for 5.39 yards per carry. Heck, even Missouri had 4.08 yards per carry. They just didn't have the ball enough and they turned it over enough, but that they only went 106 yards there. But they were able to run the football some. But, you know, Mississippi, problem with Ole Miss this year in their offense is that they are very, very pass heavy. They've struggled to run the football all year. You think about what their main problem has been in the games that they've lost. They've not been able to run the football. They couldn't run the football against Memphis, and they couldn't run the football against Florida, and that's why they lost those games. So I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, when you look at what Florida has done, the teams that were able to run the football coming into that game, the teams that really would threaten them on the ground are the teams that had success against them. And I'm telling you right now, Tennessee scored 27 points in Gainesville just because they were able to run the football. And, you know, Florida without Will Grier in that game does not win that game. They lose the Tennessee game with Treyon Harris at quarterback. They're not scoring 28 points with Treyon Harris at quarterback, not against Tennessee. Fortunate to have had Will Grier in that game. They don't have Will Grier against Florida State. And at the end of the day, Florida State has Dalvin Cook. Florida State has Dalvin Cook and Jaquez Patrick. And as questionable as Florida State's offensive line has been with regard to motion penalties and all sorts of other things, Florida State's been able to run the football this year. They were able to run the football most of the way against Clemson. Had some trouble down once they got in tight zone and in short yardage, but they were able to run the football most of that game. And I don't see that necessarily going away against Florida in this game. And I think that really is the ball game on this side of the football. Florida State, I don't think, is going to have a whole lot of success through the air. I think they're going to need to test them downfield a little bit. But I'm not sure where that's going to come from. You know, you hope maybe they can get a Kermit Whitfield free on something. Maybe they get Javon Harrison or one of the slightly bigger wide receivers out there at this point. Maybe an Auden Tate in the red zone gets some time now that he's had some opportunities to heal up that toe, and he got some playing time this last week. But at the end of the day, I'm not expecting a whole lot from Florida State's passing game in this. And really, Florida State to have some success in this game they're going to need to have an offensive outing similar to what Tennessee put up. They're going to need to do basically a Tennessee type game plan where they run the football for 250 plus or 200 plus, and you know Tennessee only threw it for about 165 yards, and you know that basically bludgeon Florida on the ground. And I think Jimbo Fisher is going to be willing to do that against this team. I think he is aware of what he has in this game. You know, even against Chattanooga, Sean McGuire threw about three or four balls that should have been intercepted. I mean, there's one in particular on a curl route where he just threw straight to the underneath defender. He's got to recognize the curl flat player, and he doesn't. Against Florida, that goes to the house. Fisher watches that. Fisher knows that, and he knows what Florida has in terms of that coverage. And he also knows that his best players are dotting the I, as it were. His best players are in the backfield at that running back position, and he's going to have noticed. That offensive staff will know that Leonard Fournette and, you know, Jalen Hurd and the guys from those teams, LSU and Tennessee, were the players that had the most success against this Florida team. Basically, all Florida State needs from Sean McGuire is to make sure that he gets them in the right plays, running to the right side, gets the right checks in, and that he makes a few throws here and there. Otherwise, I think Florida State can run the football for over 4 yards a carry, five yards plus per carry range in this game. And I think that probably is enough to win the game if they're able to do it. But I think that's what it boils down to on the offensive side. And, you know, as far as Florida's injury report, you know, they've got Jonathan Bullard and some of these others listed on the injury report. I'm looking at the Wednesday injury report as updated. And you know, they've got Jordan Sherritt moved up from out to questionable. You've still got John Bullard listed as doubtful. You've got a few others on that list that that matter that are probable. You know, David Sharp, offensive tackle, Brandon Powell, wide receiver. You got some of those, but on the defensive side, Jordan Sherritt and John Bullard are the most important names. Bullard is listed as doubtful. Sherritt is listed as questionable, and I can guarantee you that both of those guys play. John Bullard is not missing this game. Florida State's going to have to prepare that as though Florida's best defensive players are going to be on the field. And Bullard is probably one of the two or three best defensive linemen that Florida State will have played against this year. Up there with a couple of the guys that that Clemson had. And then a few from Louisville, particularly Sheldon Rankins. But, you know, Florida has a quality defensive line. I mean, when you look at their depth chart, they've got some guys that are going to play in the NFL. Jonathan Bullard at the nose, Caleb Brantley, or Jonathan Bullard at the three, Caleb Brantley at the nose. You know, those guys are going to play in the NFL. Tavian Bryan is a guy. He's young, but he's probably going to get there as well. Jordan Sherritt playing more of a defensive end type, also can squeeze inside some. You know, he's a good player. But basically, they're going to have to block those guys up front. Alex Anzalone, quality Sam linebacker, going to be very active. Going to have to block those guys in the run game and give Dalvin Cook some space. But I think I think Florida State can have more success against this Florida defense running the football than they did against Clemson running the football. I think Clemson overall on their front seven has been better stopping the run than this Florida team has against quality teams. Against quality running teams that can run the football. So, you know, I think it boils down to that. And then in the pass game, you just have to make sure that that McGuire gets good protection when he drops back. Primary concern there is, again, Bullard and then Brian Cox at the defensive end position. You worry about Brian Cox and Anzalone maybe coming off the edge a little bit there. But I think that they can block them for the most part up front. I don't think Florida State's going to come into this game and be surprised or stunned by the fit level of physicality or the quality of Florida's defensive line. It's a good defensive line, but it's not far and away the best Florida State's played. In fact, I'm not sure it's any better than Clemson's or Louisville's. So again, I think Florida State can run the football primarily because they have maybe the best player in the country standing in the backfield, even though he's still more or less on one and a half legs right now. On the other side of the football, I think, again, Florida State matches up better than I think a lot of people would have thought based on where these teams were ranked and based on records. And, of course, you know, there's always the SEC bias that comes into some of this when you look at things nationally. Florida's a team that doesn't throw the football well with Treon Harris. They've got a couple playmakers. I mean, Antonio Callaway's played very well for a freshman. He's a guy that came out more or less ready to play. And he's really turned into a good playmaker at that Z position for them. And then Brandon Powell in the slot is a playmaker. And then DeMarcus Robinson, he's a guy, he was their best guy for a couple of years and more or less has been overshadowed by Callaway and Powell in recent weeks. So they got three quality wide receivers, but they don't have a guy that can reliably get the football to him at this point. This is where they're a different team with Harris as opposed to Greer. So, you know, this is a team that has to run the football, and quite frankly, they're not all that good running the football. I mean, you look at their Football Outsiders S&P Plus rushing rating, and they're 87th in the country. I mean, this is a team that does not run the football especially well. You look at their rushing numbers on the year, and, you know, they averaged against decent FBS competition, 3.24 yards per carry against Kentucky, 3.89 in a win against Tennessee, 2.47 yards per carry against Mississippi, 2.93 yards per carry against Missouri, 1.17 yards per carry against LSU, 5.38 against Georgia. Man, Georgia cannot stop the run against anybody with a pulse. And Jeremy Pruitt, good thing, he's a genius up there. But, you know, then 2.74 yards per carry against Vanderbilt, 3.44 yards per carry against South Carolina. I mean, they're not averaging more than 4 yards a carry against any FBS team except for Georgia on the year. I mean, that's just, they averaged 2.95 yards per carry against Florida Atlantic. And you might say, well, that was because they were prepping all that week for Florida State, but that's about what they've been averaging against any decent defense, against FBS defenses. I think Florida State can hold them on the ground very comparably to what LSU did or to what Missouri did. I don't think they run for much more than maybe 3 yards per carry against Florida State's defense. Because again, that's where Florida State's defense happens to be strong this year. They've got two outstanding corners, and then they've been very good at the defensive tackles, and they've stopped the run very well all year. So this is not really a good matchup for Florida against Florida State's defense. The one place where Florida could potentially get some mismatches is with Brandon Powell in the slot. And I think they're going to have to do everything they can to try to get him in good matchups and to try to create one-on-ones and try to get him running away from somebody down the field or short. Get him in a position where he can make plays. But to me, this game boils down to Brandon Powell either making enough plays from the slot to give Florida some points, or Florida probably gets shut down. I'm not talking about slowed down. I'm talking about shut down. Because quite frankly, I mean, Kelvin Taylor's a nice running back, but he's not special. He's not Dalvin Cook. He would be the third back on Florida State's roster right now, and he's not a whole lot better than Vickers. I mean, if his last name wasn't Taylor, if that wasn't Fred Taylor's kid, then you know I think perhaps his reputation would not be what it is. So, you know, Florida's going to have to find ways to create something to create offense, and I think really they're going to have to depend on beating Florida State on the interior in the slot and also Jake McGee at the tight end position. They're going to have to find ways to get those guys the football underneath, beating Florida State's star or their linebackers or whatever. And this is where having Nate Andrews back, especially having Terrence Smith back, makes a big difference for Florida State. That defense is so much better with those guys on the field, particularly with Terrence Smith. I mean, there's just been a noticeable difference with him on the field since that Clemson game. I mean, he's a difference maker for that Florida State defense because of what he can do at that second level, both against the pass and against the run. So, you know, I think Florida has trouble blocking Florida State up front. And that is where this game, I think, it boils down to that question. Can Florida end up finding ways to scratch out enough rushing yards and find enough ways to create this or that mismatch against the star or against the linebacker or whatever to create enough chunk plays to score some points? And I just don't think that happens in this game. You just can't convince me that Treyon Harris is going to be the guy that's going to make the throws downfield, that's going to make enough tight window throws to put up a whole lot of points on this Florida State defense. And you know, that's not a whole lot more to say. I don't think they're going to be able to block Noddy and Niall Lawrence-Stample and Christmas inside. I think they're going to have trouble with that. I think they're going to have trouble with DeMarcus Walker and Josh Sweat and Giorgio Newberry. I think they're going to have trouble with that. They've not been all that good on the offensive line all year, and they still are a little bit banged up. And quite honestly, again, you go back through their year and against the quality teams that they've played, look at the quality defenses that they've played against. Missouri averaged 4.38 yards per play. That's anemic. Averaged 5.52 against Tennessee, but very little on the ground. Played pretty well against that Ole Miss defense, 5.63 overall, but that was mostly on a few pass plays, a few big plays. Florida State's just got to avoid giving those up. I just don't see them running the football on this Florida State defense. So when it comes down to it, to wrap up my overall analysis of the Florida State game, I think it boils down to, and again, I'm going to repeat this one more time, boils down to can Florida State cover Powell and McGee at the tight end in the slot well enough to make sure that they don't give up plays on the inside of the field. And then basically just winning the matchup at the line of scrimmage and forcing Florida to, you know, the 3 yard per carry or less area on the game. And I think they'll be able to do the 3 yard per carry or less area. And then the question is, can they avoid giving up a couple plays, you know, too many plays to Powell and McGee and those guys in the slot and at the tight end? Outside of that, I think Florida's going to need probably to be +2 in turnover margin to win this game. They might need +3 because I just don't see them moving it. And honestly, I think the magic number for Florida State in this game is probably 20. If Florida State scores 20 points in this game, I think they win. And if they score a whole lot more than that, they win going away. So, you know, because I'm not sure this Florida team scores more than 17 points against this Florida State defense. And, you know, without some turnover help, they might not get that high. So, you know, I think ultimately this game could probably be summed up. My expectations for this game, my analysis of this game. I know I've just given you 21 minutes of analysis of this game, but I think you could probably sum up my overall analysis of my thoughts on this game in one pithy little, or in two pithy little sentences. Florida State has Dalvin Cook. Florida does not. I think that's the ball game. Overall, both, you got two top-notch defenses. You got two offenses that are not all that great. I mean, you take Dalvin Cook off of the Florida State offense, and it's probably resembling that Florida offense quite a bit. I mean, we saw what they looked like against Wake Forest without Dalvin Cook. But Florida State has Dalvin Cook, and Florida does not. Florida State's offense is better equipped to stop the run. And that happens to be pretty much all that Florida's been able to do in recent weeks, and they've not done that all that well. Whereas Florida's defense is best oriented to stop the pass, to stop the spread. And Florida State's not really going to try to throw the football on them all that much this game, I don't think. And again, Florida State has Dalvin Cook. They're going against a defense where if they've given anything up, it's been on the ground. And Florida State has Dalvin Cook. At the end of the day, I think Florida State wins the game. I don't think they're going to put the ball in the air enough to turn it over all that much. Because they have Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook should go for over 150 yards in this game. I think he busts probably one or two long ones. Even as good as this Florida defense is, you know, Leonard Fournette got his against this Florida defense. He didn't bust out for any really long one. And maybe Cook doesn't do that because they do take good angles and they're well coached. But again, Cook is actually, he's been more explosive in terms of making some of those plays when he gets into the secondary than even Fournette has been this year. So I think this game boils down to the team that can run the football and move the football on the ground and avoid turnovers is the team that wins this game. And Florida State has Dalvin Cook. Enough said. I think that's all the difference. I think Florida State winds up scoring just over 20 points, maybe something like 27. And I think Florida struggles to get to somewhere in the 13 range. I think absent a significant turnover margin, turnover advantage for Florida, I think Florida State wins this game by two scores. Football's all about matchups, and Florida State, their defensively matches up well with what Florida does offensively, especially without Will Greer. With Treyon Harris throwing the football, I just don't think he scares Florida State. And Florida State has Dalvin Cook. And that's going to do it for us here on the Unconquered Podcast. Now, before we get out of here, just a reminder to rate this podcast and subscribe on iTunes. Helps us a bunch when you do that. You can also follow me at Doc Staples on Twitter. I also contribute over at NoelDigest.com. You can follow Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio. And, of course, make sure to catch our next podcast, which will cover the fallout from the Florida State win over Florida. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of eSporto Channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.